This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities taking a look at the wheat markets for Wednesday, May 15th. Well, wheat markets yesterday had a pretty impressive day, as did corn and beans. In fact, wheat was kind of tagging along with the corn and beans, but all the grain complex had a very strong day yesterday. And that comes after a day where we saw a key reversal up in Chicago wheat, a big reversal in Kansas City. Minneapolis kind of just trading sideways, but corn also had a key reversal up. And soybeans, not a key reversal, but a gap lower, excuse me, then a close at the high end, at the high of that day, setting up for a kind of an island bottom. We didn't technically get an island bottom. The market opened about where it closed in soybeans, but still it looks like a spike low in the bean complex. And with the markets being up strong yesterday, it certainly confirms some significant lows in corn and wheat as well. So these key reversals got confirmed yesterday, and we're seeing some extension of that this morning, where wheat is up another 7 cents, corn is up 8, beans are up 12. So the market continuing to push its way higher even after a big day yesterday. And even with the U.S.-China trade agreement seemingly on the ropes, it sure looks like the grain complex has found a bid here. Now, hedge funds are record short in Chicago wheat and corn, certainly Kansas City wheat, and I mean they're holding massive short positions, and a lot of these were put on after the crop report. So those are being shaken loose, I think, as we speak, and we're seeing some short covering there. In corn, corn and beans both yesterday, we stalled at the resistance levels. In corn, it was the old swing lows, the low from last fall, and then again from early March. The market kind of stalled out there and looked like it was going to run into some pretty heavy headwinds. And in soybeans, the market stalled at the gap here from a couple Mondays ago. So the market looked like it was just going to kind of run out of gas there and probably pull back. I kind of figured it would settle into a trading range between yesterday's low and basically yesterday's high. But that's not the case. We are getting some extension here this morning, and soybeans are above that gap now. And of course, corn is above its resistance point. Wheat really didn't have any notable resistance right up above us, and it continues to have plenty of room to the upside before you run into anything major. But both corn and beans, I think, have stamped their seasonal lows. And with the weather conditions what they are, this is kind of turning into a weather market. All of a sudden, within like 3 days, this has become a market that has literally erased about a month and a half worth of selling in corn and beans. It's pretty remarkable. Usually you get that on the downside. But I think that we have found our lows. If the market does pull back, it'll find support at yesterday's low, which is the gap in corn, and that sort of kind of gap in soybeans. In wheat, I think we have just found our bottoms, and that will probably get a pullback there, and to a point, kind of retest the swing low from early March. That would be your support level in wheat. It's not going to be the contract low, I don't think. It'll be that swing low from last March. And with wheat, I think you're just going to be starting to work your way higher. Now, there's some chatter that we got some heat developing in the Volga region of Russia, which is a major winter wheat producing region, which is used primarily for domestic use. But that said, it doesn't. The rest of Russia looks fine. This is still early in the growing season. That heat would have to continue for a while to see production losses. And you still have good growing conditions across really the rest of the northern hemisphere. So with wheat, I think it's a matter of probably getting too much rain in the central plains. You've got harvest that's going to want to gear up here in a couple weeks, and it's pretty wet in the south, and you're looking at more rain coming. So that's supportive to corn and certainly would be supportive to wheat in response. Private estimates are starting to talk about losing upwards of 2 million tons of corn at this point. Most of that would go to soybeans. Some would go to prevent plant. But that's a pretty big deal. And now with more rains coming just in a few days, and it's a long stretch of rain, you're going to be pushing into late May. You're going to be well past the insurance deadlines for prevent plant. Farmers may want to still try to get the corn in, but you start to really lose some yield by doing that. So the market is, you know, trying to build in some weather premium here. It's doing it fairly quickly, as weather markets will do. That said, you're still looking at, you know, huge carryover, record carryover in soybeans, and that's just going to grow. Soybeans being as strong as they were, it's kind of a surprise. We saw China buy upwards of 40 cargoes of Brazilian soybeans. That takes them well into August. And Argentina, of course, they're going to crush most of what they would, they'll sell most of their beans as meal. But also, we're looking at, Brazilian soybeans being displaced. So the U.S. beans will go to those other countries, basically, is the bottom line. We know that. But it's still, we're losing the primary market of China. Also, there is some support in the grain complex from the government talking about buying $15 billion worth of ag goods to give to, quote, poor and starving nations. That'd be great, and it would be great if it happens. They don't really have any details of the plan. It's just an announcement. We don't have the infrastructure in place to do it. The government certainly isn't sitting on stocks that they can just take and send somewhere. They'd have to buy it in the open market, which is part of the reason why the market jumped. But still, you've got it. You got the logistics problem. You got, okay, what countries are you going to send it to? There's a whole list of questions that come up and issues that come up, not to mention where they're going to get the money. So, and Congress has to approve it anyway. It's not like the USDA just has that money sitting around. So this is, it's not that simple, basically. Certainly is supportive to the market. It sounds great, sounds fabulous, but just waiting to see what actually happens, I think will be very interesting. 6 months down the road, have they done anything, would be my question. And I think it's the same thing with the US-China trade negotiations. At this point, with the US continuing to poke China in the eye, it wouldn't surprise me at all if China just walks away from this and says, we'll wait till we get a different president to deal with. And that then they'll start to renegotiate. But with basically our lack of respect in this trade negotiation process, that China and that's so important to the Asian culture is saving face, having respect, that this is just the complete opposite of what we need to be doing to negotiate with China. And so I kind of think China's just going to play us along, try to get what they want, knowing that we're not going to give, and then they're just going to walk away from this and just wait it out. Yeah, it's going to hurt their economy, but it already is, and it's going to hurt ours pretty much just as much, technically, eventually. So, not that that's what they want, but I think that they're just going to walk away from this. They're going to find other markets. They're going to create other sources of soybeans in particular, probably from Russia, who has vast amounts of cropland that they're pulling into production. So that's it's not like they're running into dead ends, and they've been buying up a lot of land in Africa as well. So they are shoring up their sourcing. It's not happening as fast as they would need it to with these for these negotiations. But nevertheless, with the hog decimation that they're experiencing, it does reduce their feed grain demand. So it does reduce their soybean meal demand. That's kind of the one upshot of this whole thing as far as the African swine fever goes. So there's a lot of moving parts going on in the grain complex. You've got weather, which is becoming a pretty big deal. You got the trade disagreements, and not only with China, but with Canada, Mexico. Those are stalled as well. And it's none of it's good for the United States as far as these trade agreements go. We pulled out of TPP. What do we have as far as trade agreements anymore? So that's I think really going to come home to roost when we cut a massive soybean crop, when we cut a pretty darn big wheat crop, and the rest of the world's cutting a very big wheat crop. And corn might be the player. I really think if you're going to see a big bull market develop this year, it will be corn. We're losing acres here in the United States. Ukraine is on track to drop some production as well. And China, of all places, looking at some pretty dry conditions developing in the major corn-producing region of China, right in the northern North China Plain and up into Northeast China. So even though they hold half of the world's ending stocks for corn, they'll blow through that in 1 year if they have a decimated crop, and they will have to come look for corn. They can go to Argentina, they can go to Brazil, they can go to Ukraine. They'll gobble all that up, but it will be like the soybeans where it displaces the markets. We'll still have a market. And granted, even with, you know, losing a couple million acres here in the United States, we're still looking at a very large carryover. But you start to push these late plantings, you're pushing pollination into the heat of summer, the odds of yield reductions increase dramatically as you get into late May, early June plantings. And that's kind of where we're at. So I think corn is the sleeper. And if corn shoots higher, wheat's going to tag along with it. So that's a positive development. I think wheat has found its bottom anyway. And I think we'll just settle into a trading range. But if corn takes off, wheat is going to come with it. But I think corn will be our leader of the grain complex. If we get something going to the upside, it will hone in on corn. That's just my outlook. If you have any questions, feel free to call me at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.